On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I review this past weekend in Gamecock Athletics, which unfortunately was a tough one, as there were L's all the way around our athletic department, but I will review it, we'll unpack it, move past it, and talk about next steps for all of our teams. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 48 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001, and where I'm not an expert, and I'm not trying to be, but I hope y'all had a good weekend. I hope whatever you did personally was a nice weekend, if you caught up with friends and family, maybe went out, had a couple beers, had a nice dinner, or just relaxed and watched movies. I hope it was excellent. Because from the sports side of things, our sports life, it was pretty darn bad. It was a tough weekend in Gamecock Athletics. There wasn't even a silver lining, which is pretty crazy. You know, it wasn't even a mixed bag. And it's funny because I feel like about a week ago, I was saying the vibes were high. The vibes were high in Gamecock country. We had wins all the way around. Feeling good. And the universe giveth. And the universe taketh away, because this was a tough weekend. We had losses on the baseball front, loss on the basketball front, tough, heartbreaking women's basketball. It's just tough weekend. It's a tough situation. But hey, we're all in this together. And just like we had our moments during football season of Gamecock therapy on the airwaves, no problem. I'm here for you. Dr. Tim, Dr. Cox Talking Gamecocks. That's what I'm here for. We're going to jump into all that, but before, we're going to join with a Gamecock fact for y'all. So fact, 65 years ago, University of South Carolina men's basketball player Grady Wallace was college basketball's scoring leader. He edged out future Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame inductees Elgin Baylor and Wilt Chamberlain to take that title. Shout out Grady Wallace. That's impressive. That's a fun fact, an old fact 65 years ago. But hey, no better time than to reflect on past glory than when your current teams are just giving you big dumps, right? we're gonna shout out Grady Wallace. And we're going to appreciate that. Edging out Wilt, that's pretty impressive, because Lord knows that's not happening this year on our team. It's just not. But like I said, it was a tough weekend in Gamecock Athletics, in Gamecock country. But hey, we're all in together. We're going to battle back. We're going to move forward. You know, we're going to take it, be sad for a day or two, and then move forward. So we're going to jump right into it. I really, truly, y'all, I don't even know where to begin with this, because like I said at the top, it's not even like there was one game that I could be like, all right, we're going to do the bad news first and then get to the good. So we're just going to go in more or less chronological order, starting with baseball, because they started first, right? So baseball, it was a big rivalry weekend. Everyone was pumped. We're taking on the team from the upstate. And there's no way to sugarcoat this. We got swept. We got swept and we got our butts handed to us. And it's really tough to have that happen, especially early in the season when you thought you might have had a little momentum. People knew this was a big series, and it just didn't get done. So we're going to go game by game here. Game one, we lost 2-3. And look, this game, the result was not there. And we're going to talk about that. But something that cannot be lost from this weekend and cannot be lost from this game is Will Sanders and the performance that he put on as the starting pitcher with 14 strikeouts, career high 14 strikeouts. Cannot be stated enough. Big at bat after big at bat, he needed to get out of innings, and he delivered. striking out guys, back-to-back strikeouts. It was when he was called on, he answered. He had a couple of walks, you know. Like, there were moments where he had to get out of some jams, but he never let the moment become too big. And I absolutely love this kid. He had his emotion showing. He was striking out guys and walking off, strutting off, pumping his fist, saying, let's go. And yeah, that might be a little more common in college than it is pros, but to see that from your starting pitcher and then collecting oneself and going back out and doing it again cannot be understated. Dude is a monster. Absolute monster. And everyone knew this was the game we had to have. You had Will Sanders going. The rest of the rotation was up in the air. And unfortunately, it just didn't go that way. And there's a lot to talk about. I'm going to say Michael Braswell, he continues to impress me. He was up in the two spot. A little bit of a change in the lineup. He provided some energy. Discipline at the plate. He is electric. Josiah Seitler, excuse me. Talk about a mixed bag here, right? He had a home run that he basically hit to the moon. He basically hit that home run to Irmo, just connected with it, gave us the lead, and it felt like we had the momentum. But then at the end of the game, he had an error, which allowed guy to get on base, and then that base runner ended up scoring the winning run. So really mixed bag there, and it was tough because Will Sanders was pitching out of his mind, and his pitch count was high. I believe he was right at 100 pitches or so when he was taken out. So between the pitching change and the error, we surrendered the lead. And a lot of people were pointing to the pitching change as to the moment where you kind of said, well, what's going on here? Like, no one's being able to hit. And I don't know. I don't think that necessarily the pitching change was a bad call. Maybe it went to Gilreath, I believe. Maybe it was questionable as to him. But without that error, probably would have gotten out of the inning. But the real story of it, and this is kind of the story of the weekend, is that we just could not capitalize all game with runners in scoring position. That's the story to me. I mean, even in the ninth inning, we had a man on second with one out, I believe. Certainly two outs, but we couldn't get it in. I mean, we were down by one run. That would have been the tying run. He was on second base. And you just couldn't do it. So, yes, baseball is a game of moments, like game of inches. And the pitching change and the error, like, yes, that cost the game. But we had several moments where we could have broken this game open, where we could have at least gotten another run or two, had some insurance, and we just didn't. But Will Sanders, that performance was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Game two at Segra Park in Columbia. Ugh, ugly. Lost 2-10. I really don't have much to say about that one. We scored early and then not again. Like, it was just really bad. Braswell, 2-for-4. Kevin Madden, 1-for-3 with an RBI. Again, just not much to say. And this is where the loss of James Hicks hurts you, because we didn't know who the heck the starter was going to be. Guys got beat up, unearned runs, pass balls. Just not good. Game three on Sunday, lost 5-2. And, you know, I just hopped into recording as soon as that game ended. I don't really have player highlights for you, but you scored two runs. And it's just this theme of not being able to capitalize, right? We were told that the approach was going to be a little different this year, going to play a little bit more small ball, manufacture runs. Did not see that. We saw it against Winthrop. We saw it against George Washington. Yeah. That's not Power 5 teams. So I don't know really what is going on with this team. I think it's clear that the pitching staff, the rotation, outside of Sanders, without Hicks now, and while Bosnick is still hurt, huge question marks. Who's it going to be? I mean, I like Aiden Hunter, but, you know, he's a freshman. And it seems that they like him in more of a middle relief role. Braswell, he's a closer, right? But he also plays shortstop. Guy can't do it all. So who's going to step up? Somebody has to. But also, this lineup, y'all, it's like, when you look at it, it has potential. It looks like it's pretty deep when you look at it at face value, but it's felt as though it's top heavy. And even with that, guys are not being able to manufacture. They're not being able to do their jobs. So we have a lot to figure out. And we kind of got to figure it out quick. We have some tough games ahead of us this month. Yes, its schedule technically eases up a bit, but you never know who gets hot. So we got to figure some stuff out quick. Men's baseball team next game is Tuesday night at home against Xavier. Hopefully this is a get-right game because we certainly need it. Xavier is 2-9. So my crow to the game is hit with runners in scoring position. Like I just said, this lineup feels like it has potential to do damage, but we need to see it on a more consistent basis. My other crow, it's more of like an emphasis, right? Like that needs to be the theme, is like helping each other out, having a more balanced approach to everything. Pitching, hitting, all of it, right? And, you know, I admittedly, you know, I don't know too much about Kingston, right? I've followed this team, obviously. There are people who have strong feelings about him. I don't know too much about his philosophies as far as baseball goes, but it seems like there are some decisions that are a little bit questionable. So he maybe has to take a look in the mirror and say, okay, well, what's my philosophy here, right? You put the bunt sign on, guy hits it foul, and then you change it to swing. You're not even going to give it a second shot. Like, that's where you got to have some consistency there. So I don't know. It's still early. I know I said I ate my words with the men's basketball team when I said that, but it's still early. Baseball is a game of longevity, but you never want to get swept by your rival. It sucks. Like, it really sucks. And that game Friday was the one we had to have. If you had one of three, like, it's okay. That stinks, and they have to get it right soon. So now moving on from that to moving on to another L, as the men's basketball team, they took the L Saturday against Auburn, 71-82. And look, Auburn is one of the top teams in the country, and we saw a lot of reasons why. They came out of the gates hitting big shots. That environment in Auburn was insane. Obviously, they were going for the SEC regular season title. And, you know, at times, it felt like in that first half, it was kind of close, right? Like 22-24 range. But they pulled away, and they really never looked back. You know, we outscored Auburn in the second half, but it really didn't make much of a difference. Still lost by 11 points. Some player highlights here for y'all in this regular season finale is Jermaine Cousinard with 22 points. I mean, he really has been playing very well down this stretch. And James Reese with a nice 18 points there. But there is hope on the horizon, y'all. The men's team, yes, that was a crappy way to end the very regular season. You know, that hot streak came to a close. But there are more games. We have the SEC tournament. They play Thursday night against Mississippi State. So Mississippi State, again, we just played them recently, but we split the season series 1-1 with Carolina winning the last matchup. And, you know, it's a very interesting game because Mississippi State, they ended 17-10, 8-10 record in conference. We are the higher seed in this matchup. And the last time we played Mississippi State, things went quite well. So we're going to need to find our groove back. Can you look at this team and say, hey, we're very familiar with this team. We've played well against them lately. Can we get back to that? So my crow to the game here is Jermaine Cousinard needs to be that dude. He needs to put on a show. He needs to score more than his average. He averages about 12 points right now. But I'm going to say that he needs to find a way to get more assists. He doesn't have a lot on the year. I think his average is around 4. But I'm going to say 6+. So if Jermaine can get 6+ assists, and let's call it 15 points, we should be in a decent spot for this game. And second crow to the game here is control the glass, dominate rebounds offensively, defensively. You have to be able to do that. When those things have gone, when our senior leaders have scored and we've controlled the glass, you tend to win. I know that's not groundbreaking news, but this team has followed the lead of Cousinard, Bryant, Reese, and Stevenson. So if you get three of those guys in double digits, that would be incredible, 300 points, then we could be in a decent position. And, you know, I like our chances in this game. I do. Get a couple days off, get your mind right, study. And the last time you played this team, you played pretty well. So hopefully we can continue that. And the winner of this game, so hopefully Carolina, congrats. You get to go play Tennessee Friday night. Tennessee, strong end of their season, and I hate Tennessee. So hopefully we can win. And we'll see what happens against Tennessee. But this is it, y'all. I mean, this is win or go home. This is the conference tournament here. And who knows where we're going to end up. I'm seeing more and more on social media just the absurdity that is the net rankings and the absurdity that this bubble talk and bracketology is, because teams in other conferences that these quote-unquote experts have in the tournament have just worse records than us. Like, do wins and losses not matter? I simply just do not get it. So we'll see where we end up. It'd be incredible to go on a run here in the conference tournament and end up in the big dance, but who knows, right? Now, speaking of the big dance, this is what we have to focus on with this next subject here is women's basketball. Now, the women's team, they had a great weekend, late week, early weekend of basketball, relatively smooth sailing in the SEC tournament until it came to the championship game. We came in hot, beat Ole Miss on Saturday, beat them by 10 points, I believe, and then we faced Kentucky. Kentucky was a 7 seed in the tournament and was hot. They ended hot in their regular season, and then they continued playing very well, and they came to us, and we ended up losing 64-62 on a shot with 4 seconds left. And there's really not much to say other than it sucks. I mean, really, like, it sucks. Like, this is a very crappy feeling, right? Like, we were cruising. It just felt like we were going to win. The middle of the second half, it felt like this game was in hand. At one point, I think we were up 15. I think we were up 12 or so to start the fourth quarter. I mean, I had victory tweets in my head formulating, right? I was almost ready to start recording. Like, and then the fourth quarter, we went ice cold. And Kentucky creeped back in. And before you knew it, the game was a 2-possession game, right? A couple minutes left. And then before you knew it, then it was single digits, 1 possession. You know, we had some missed shots, some missed layups, missed free throws down the stretch. It just absolutely killed us, you know. But we only scored 7 points in the whole quarter. So I've never seen that from this team. Like, we were on the other side of that. We were just ice cold. So you can't even point to the free throws. Like, yes, it was crucial at the end. And there's a layup or two that was crucial at the end. But you weren't scoring at the start of the quarter, right? So you could probably go back and point out several shots that didn't go in that you needed earlier. I don't know. Don said that they didn't deviate from the game plan in the fourth, but from an outside perspective, it looked like the team was just playing more conservative. And I don't think that that's a conscious decision per se. I just think that they were just playing conservative. I you know, earlier in the game, you had Destiny Henderson and Zaya Cook taking threes, making threes. Didn't see much of that down the stretch. You know, didn't see a lot of mid-range either. It was working to the post, and then, you know, we just weren't getting the rebounds, weren't getting the second-chance shots that we were all game, and we let Kentucky hang around. And they have some good players, right? There's no doubt about that, right? It's not like we got beat by some scrub team. They're not great, but they're very hot right now. They have a player, last name Howard, Ryan Howard, who they're saying could go number 2 in the NBA WNBA draft, so I don't know. It's just tough, though. Some highlights for you here, though. Aaliyah Boston, she continues to deliver 24 straight double-doubles, 21 points, 11 rebounds. Zaya Cook had a great game, great first half, too. 15 points, money from deep. And then Destiny Henderson with 9 points. And it felt like that this was it. Those were our big three. I said to myself, if Destiny can get up towards double figures, because you had Zaya and Boston in that already at the half, I said we should be in good shape. But all of us, the players, coaches, fans, we got to absorb this result, own it, and flush it. Because, yes, we all wanted the SEC title and wanted to go for 2 trophies. But to lose it in that fashion is just gut-wrenching. It's just so, so hard. But the real prize is at the end of the big dance, and we cannot lose focus of that. If this team is able to get to the finals in March Madness, I promise you nobody's going to be thinking about this game right now because the much bigger trophy is right there. In fact, I mean, maybe this game could be a little bit of a jolt to the team that they use to push them through the tournament, through that grind, right? I mean, I wouldn't have thought they needed that. I wouldn't have said that this team doesn't have the motivation or the juice, but now that it happened, let it serve some purpose and remind the team that you have to stay aggressive for four quarters, stay aggressive throughout, don't get conservative, do what got you there, play your game. So this really stinks. There's no way to sugarcoat it. This sucks. We all really wanted this, and to lose it in that fashion blows, frankly. But let's flush it, and let's get to the big dance, and let's handle business there, because this team is still capable of doing very, very special things. And when they lost on a weird last-second shot in the regular season against Mizzou, this team woke up and went on a tear. So let it serve some purpose. That's all we can hope for, really. But really, y'all, this wraps up this episode. I should say this time's up. Time's up on your therapy session, on your Gamecock therapy session. Do me a favor. Follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and leave reviews of the podcast wherever you listen to. Let's turn the page on this weekend. This weekend sucked. Stinks. Flush it. Let's turn the page. We got some games coming up this weekend. Let's root them in. Let's go, Cox.